WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
And you want to get the devil back, do it like this. Bam! In your face, devil! That's right, come on now. That's how you do it. Now, if you're really excited, go bam! In your face, devil! Good morning. Listen, today we're reading Deuteronomy 22 through 26. And listen, you know, I was just watching that video of showing that about the intro and how we had, you know, the AmericanExpose.com. That's where we have these Bible studies and what the 40-day team did and all the different Bible studies having to do with the 40-day idols. And I was thinking, you know, the way it said, they're exposing the devil in the modern day church. And do you know, by reading the Bible, it is doing that? Because we are showing exactly what God is saying himself. We are not giving you five key points and making up our own doctrine. We're reading God's doctrine. Come on now. We are hearing from straight from the mouth of truth. And you know, the Bible, this is my Bible, the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, King James, of course. The Bible is the only main source of truth that we ever go by. Because, see, this New Age Christ, this new age Jesus that's out here is doing away with this and going by experience. And they're going after the supernatural, going after the more, but they're not sticking within the confines of this. And if we do that, we have went off into heresy and went off into the apostasy. We have become false prophets and etc. So when we trust in the Word of God and what and the way that He defines truth, okay, this is the truth. The age of the day, which William Long so eloquently said the other night in the interview, he was talking about the age of the hour. The age of the day says, what is my truth is my truth. What is your truth is your truth. If I say I'm going to heaven and I want to practice a lifestyle that goes against this word, then my truth is true. And your truth is not true for you. You know, or maybe true for you, but it's not true for me. That is a lie from the pits of hell. And another lie that I want to expose today that the many in the church are saying is this. Well, you know, we're doing things that the occult is doing and the New Age is doing, but only because they stole it from us. So we're just taking it back. Bride, that is so vomit from the pits of hell. I can't even explain to you how bad that is. That is just goofy. That is mixing with the devil, and God hates mixing. I keep saying this. God hates mixing. It's in His Word, and that's just the way it is. Even to this day, God hates mixing. And when you read the Old Testament, like what we're doing now with Deuteronomy, you understand God the Father. You understand His heart. He is righteous, and He is holy. Okay? Yes, none of us are perfect. I'm not saying just because I'm exposing all this that I'm perfect. I'm not. We all have issues we go through. But here's the key. Here is the key. Are we going forward in repentance? Are we going forward in this? Declaring the truth, speaking the truth, not bowing down, not cowering, not tickling demons, not saying partial truths because you don't want to offend people. Are we speaking the truth? There is not one person that was ever alive that was perfect. Not one prophet in the days of old that we're studying in the Word was perfect. But they still picked this over their self. They laid down their life for truth. And if we're ministers and we're not standing up for truth, we're not serving the true Jesus. There is another Jesus out there. This Jesus is a New Age Jesus. It's a hippie, it's compromise, and it's a stench from hell. And we're not going to participate in that Jesus. Alright, so let's go on and study Deuteronomy. Now remember where we're at, Brad. Where we're at is Moses is like Grandpa. Remember I told you this. Moses is like Grandpa and he's sitting there like kind of on the farm. If you can picture him up on a mountain, like Jesus up on a mountain. And he's sitting there with all the children of Israel and he's talking to them. And he's telling them, hey, this is the way it is when you go into the promised land. I'm not able to go because I sinned. But I'm going to tell you what God expects. And if you do well, you will have the best. You will have the heart's desire that you want. Even to the women, basically, is what he's saying. But you can have what you want. You can eat within these confines. You do have confines. You know, you have boundaries. And you can eat within these boundaries and as much as you want, as much as your soul lusts after is what the word says. And you will do well. Like everywhere you go, God will defend you. God will go before you. You never have to worry about a battle against all these cities with giants as long as you obey the word. That's the key, Brad, is obeying God's laws there. Okay, now this morning I did Ezekiel. And how sad it was because, you know, Ezekiel's on down the road. And the children of Israel do not keep this. They don't listen to Moses. And judgment has to come. And this is what Ezekiel's book is about. Is preparing the children of Israel for the judgment. And it was, now that I know what God did with Moses when he did the laws and he showed out up on the mountain and he showed the children of Israel the plan that he wanted for them, okay? And then to see the other side of that is so sad. Because right during this bam in your face devil Bible studies, we have been going back in time and we've been experiencing this and we feel like we're in love with Moses, you know, because Moses has been through so much. I mean, you feel sorry for him, but you're proud of him, and then you're kind of like, oh my gosh, you've been able to see God, like you've been able to stand in his presence and been able to intercede beyond anybody I've ever seen, you know, to be able to talk to him. And even Moses even had the understanding of God, meaning Moses was like, God, but if you do this, what you're wanting to do, how will this look to the rest of the world? You're God Almighty. You brought them out of Egypt. And you told everybody you're going to do this. And you put your foot down and tore that city to shreds, basically. And then you're going to bring them out and just kill them. How's that going to look to the world? And God listened to him. God reasoned with man. How amazing is that? You know? And something else that I really like about the character of God that I've learned through this so far is that God wants us to talk to him like a father. He wants us to explain to him in detail what we're thinking and why we're doing things. Like, he wants to understand you and he wants you to be honest with him. And this is the same as our nation. Same as our nation. And that's what God respects, is honesty. And see, when we live a life of a facade and we don't look at the big picture and we don't consider God before the nation, and God's heart about what the nation, see this flag, what the nation is doing, you know, we're missing God's heart. Because we need to look at him about the condition we're in and be truthful. One day, I live out here by woods, and one day I was walking in the woods and I walked out there. And I just looked up into heaven and I said, God, I am sorry. I am really sorry that my peoples, you know, I took it upon myself, that my peoples are doing this to you, Lord. I see what they're doing. I see what these states like California and these different ones, the laws we're passing, and the way that our media is just spewing this vomit out to your people, and the way these ministers won't stand up for truth, and the way that everybody's just worried about pleasing everybody and not wanting to speak truth. And it's like nobody wants to defend you, God. You know? And I repented to him. Like, I'm so sorry about this. Like, you know, this is just our day, and I'm really sorry about it. And I don't know what to do about it. I mean, you know, I've prayed with him about it and whatnot. So the Lord gives me a dream, and he tells me, I want you to form a team. And I want you to get that team together, and I want you to tear down idols in this nation. 40 days, 40 idols. And we did. We got this team together. And the first day we went in this room, see, at first I was going to do it all live on WATV radio every day with this team. And the Lord, he rebuked me. He said, no, I want this private, and I want this between us and the team. Well, the first day we got in there, we had a word from the Lord, and it come down. And the Lord said, you have my full attention. I'm listening. And let me tell you, Bride, it was, oh, I just want to cry, because if any of you are watching that was on that team, and you think about the honor that we had, I mean, now that we've read so far, and now we're seeing it, how it is in the Bible, and this is God, and we was able to stand there on behalf of our nation and take the sins of the nation and the church and what we was doing, honestly, on ourselves. Wasn't going in there blaming other people, just say, taking it on ourselves, because we are Americans and that we are the church, we're Christians. And so we went in there and we just got honest before God as the team. And we just said, okay, Lord, we're bringing this sin of pornography to you today. And let's say there's 20 people on the team, which I was amazed that many people even wanted to go into the war room. Basically, that was a war room every day. And God really did such amazing things, because he used each person uniquely. And the person would pray about the idol that was coming, and God would speak to them, and they would go in there, and God would have them repent about areas I never even thought of that had to do with that idol. And so it was a very amazing experience. And then, after we went through all the 40 days, and we cried out for our nation, and we cried out for the condition of our country, then I read in Ezekiel. Because, you know, since then, the Lord has took me on a journey where he said, read the book of Acts, read the book of Revelation, read the book of John, read the book of, now I'm in Ezekiel, read the book of, this is on top of the Bible study I'm doing here. And I'm reading Ezekiel, and then Ezekiel, God is aligning it out to Ezekiel who the remnant are that God wanted to save in this judgment. And guess who it was, Bride? Guess who it was? The remnant was the ones who cared about the big picture. He wasn't so engulfed in their world, their individual world. But they saw the big picture of the country. And God's heart about the nation. That was the remnant. You can argue with the word if you want, but that is what the word says. And, you know, really, when you think about the nation, we are America. This is our land. And I know a lot of times, us that did not serve in the military and us that feel small on the big scale of things, we are this land. When the judgment comes to America, to our land, it will affect many souls and many lives. And it's because of the blood that is the stench of the sin that is in this nation is so great, which we're learning about the blood. We learned that today in Ezekiel. The blood that will be poured because of the sin. The sin corrupts the blood. Holiness, the purity, the rivers from heaven cleanses the blood, see? It cleanses. Keeping the breath of God, keeping God's word in there, it keeps your blood pure. But when you taint and you mix and you throw the vomit of the world in there, it goes backwards. And it starts polluting, and it starts turning it black, and starts turning it hard. So it literally changes the DNA, where it's just vomit and pollution. This is what I'm learning in the Word. And so, anyways, okay, well, let's get on with Deuteronomy. Okay, we're on chapter 22. I pray this works. I really like it when you can see the words and follow along with me. Okay, so let's go to Deuteronomy 22. All right, let's see here. It worked, yay! All right, Brad, let's pray and get into this. Lord, we just come before you today. And Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for today. You are so amazing on all the different aspects of how we're learning you, Lord. And we're thanking you, Lord, for teaching us, leading us, and guiding us in your word. And Holy Spirit, you are here with us to be our guide and our teacher, and to illuminate the word and to convict us and show us and purge us and help us to grow. And today we ask that you use the word today to teach us and mold us and help us to grow today. And Lord, while we're before your presence this morning, I just want to say, Lord, you know, we've been asking you to bring this word to life and to bury it deep within our hearts, and that we would literally eat the scrolls through these Bible studies, because we know the time is coming where they're going to take the Bibles. And we want to have it deep where nobody can take what's in here out of our hearts. We thank you for doing that, Lord, because you are teaching us and you're causing us to live this and feel what you feel and show us why you did the things you did and showing us your heart, Lord, and we just thank you for that, Lord. This is a treasured moment of time that we have in your word, Lord, and this is worth more than $1 million. This is worth more than anything, Lord, is the time that we have in your word, and we appreciate it, Lord. And I just want to pray for all my friends, Lord, their personal lives. We just want to thank you, Lord, for today, because we're grasping the day. We're not worried about tomorrow. We're not stressing over tomorrow, because we are here today and you are the God of the day. And we don't want to lose the joy of experiencing you today. Today we want to put you first and give you the first. Read early in the mornings to start our day, filling us with the word, and we want to spend time with you. And Lord, we thank you for today. Use us for your glory today, Lord. And I know, Lord, that you're dealing with the body of Christ about giving away and having hands of giving. And I know, Lord, you're doing that because of what's coming. If we can, while we're in this false peace, prosperous moment, Lord, and we cannot give away while everything seems so bright and pretty and sunny, we're really going to have a hard time when the clouds come and when the storms come and everything is shaken, and we feel like we have to have this. We have to break this thing of holding on too tight today while we have time. So Lord, whatever you want us to give away, whatever you want us to release out of our hands, whatever in obedience you want us to do, we want to be those children. You are the Father and you know what you're doing. And we want to be children of obedience, representing you as ambassadors in the kingdom. So we thank you and give you praise for that today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go ahead and start with Deuteronomy 22. All right, thou shalt. Now remember, this is Moses talking to the children of Israel going into the promised land. Okay, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. Aw, basically help your brother. That is cool. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto your own house, and it shall be with thee until your brother seeks after it, and then you shall restore it to him again. In other words, look out for your brother. That's pretty cool. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and shalt thou do with his raiment, and with all lost thing of thy brother's, which he has lost, and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. That is awesome. In other words, look out for each other. You know, kind of like a village raising a family. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift him up again. Wow, that is awesome. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Oh! Wow, listen to this. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Oh my goodness. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord. What? Oh my goodness. I didn't know. Did y'all know that was an abomination? My goodness. If a bird. Now see, boy, this really shows you the vomit today, the spit in God's eyes with them wanting to take, away identities and wearing of the other clothes and looking the other way. I mean, I can't imagine how God sees that. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way in any tree. Oh, okay. Or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs. And the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. But thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest prolong thy days. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for your roof. What is that? That thou bring not blood upon your house if any man fall from there. Oh, I guess back then they had a... Oh, I see what he's saying. Back then, I guess they had houses that stacked upon each other or whatever. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Oh! Wow, so don't even mix in the garden. That's what he's saying. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Wow, he doesn't want mixing at all. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four corners of your vesture, wherein thou covereth thyself. If any man takes a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman and when I came unto her, I found her not a maid. Wow. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the token of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hated her. And lo, he has given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, I guess a virgin. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. What? And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he has brought up an evil name upon the virgin of Israel. Wow. And she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. Wow. But if this thing be true. Oh, it's saying, okay, if it's false. Wow. But if it's true, if it's false, the man that's accusing pays the price. And the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her with stones, that she die, because she has wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house, and so shall thou put evil away from among you. So in other words, her father is going to see with his own eyes the sin and the stench that his daughter did. Man, that is sad, isn't it? If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both of the men. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shall thou be put away from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then you shall bring them both out of the gate of that city, and you shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel because she cried not, being in the city, and the man because he has humbled his neighbor's wife. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. So basically, even if you was engaged, you was considered married, if I'm understanding that right. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and he betrothed, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there is none to save her. Oh, if a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and he lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he has humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. A man shall take his father's wife, nor a man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. Wow. Okay, let's move on to Deuteronomy 23. All right, he that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, he shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. What? Let me Google that. Let's see. What does wounded in the stones mean? Yes, you don't have an answer. Let's see. No man that brushed him. Oh, here we go. No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. If a man's testicles are crushed or his penis is cut off, he may not be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. Wow. No one, let's see. Gotcha, okay. Alright, so verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, y'all know what that is. That's if you have sex outside of marriage and you're not married, then that child is considered a bastard. And I'm going to tell you, I used to work in Nashville in the state of Tennessee's birth certificate office. And I was shocked to discover that some of the old birth certificates, like from the early 1900s to the mid 1900s, would have bastard all the way across the birth certificate, labeled for life if they was born outside of marriage. I mean, it was a serious thing. Okay, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt. And because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Wow, God remembered. God remembered what they did to them. Wow, isn't that something? Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loveth thee. Yes, Lord, thank you for turning our curses into blessings. All right, thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all the days forever. In other words, don't take the prosperity of the enemy. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. In other words, forgive them. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. When the host goes forth against thine enemies, then keep thee from every wicked thing. If there be any among you, any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness, that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp, and he shall not come within the camp. But it shall be when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp. Oh, yes! Bride, that is awesome! Do y'all see what is happening? Yes, Lord, take us into the promised land. You know, I was thinking this, bride. I was thinking this already. They're going back into the Garden of Eden. He's telling them, if you obey these laws, you will have all these blessings. You have the choices of land already. You have water. Remember, God gave them surrounded by water. You have mountains. You have hills. You have all this stuff. I mean, basically, they're stepping back into the garden. And look who here, God saying, for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp. Lord, we pray right now, walk in the midst of our camp, Lord. Walk here. Yes, Lord. That just fires me up. To deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Come on now. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he sees no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. See? I've got to post that. Hold on. That is a powerful verse. All right, that's Deuteronomy 23. Isn't that 23? Let's see. That is a good one. Oh, it just fires me up. All right, Deuteronomy 23, and then let's go to 14. All right, 12, 13, 14. All right. Oh, that is so amazing. Bright, I'm telling you. That just fires me up. It excites me. Yes, Lord. Walk in with us, Lord. Be with us, Lord. We desire. Don't y'all desire that, bride? Yes, Lord. Okay. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. So in other words, if they escape unto thee, he shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose, in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, not a Sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Wow. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. That sounds a lot like lottery, don't it? Unto a stranger. Yeah, because let's look at this again. What is usury?
According to Wikipedia, usury is, as defined today, the practice of making unethical or immoral monetary loans that unfairly enrich the lender.
Gotcha. Okay, so put people in bondage, basically. Okay, that the Lord thy God may bless thee and all that thou settest thy hand to in the land wherewith thou goest to possess it. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. The Lord's really been dealing with the bride lately about vows. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou should forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. So in other words, if you pay it back, that which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with your mouth. When thou comest into your neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. When thou comest into standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thy hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle into thy neighbor's standing corn. I always saying, go ahead and get the ear, but leave the corn stalk. All right, now we're in chapter 25, or 24. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her hand and send her out of his house. What? Wow, if she has any uncleanness. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord. Wow, are y'all not learning a lot about abomination? And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. See, bride, what I'm saying about the land, it says it right there again. When you do these abominations, the land is paying the price. Isn't that funny? When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife which he has taken. Wow! Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't that be awesome if the culture did that today? When you're first married, you got a whole year with him. No man shall take the nether or the upper millstone to pledge, for he taketh a man's life to pledge. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selling him, then that thief shall die, and they shall put evil away from among you. Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observest diligently, and do according to all that the priests of Levi shall teach you. As I commanded them, so shall you observe to do. Remember, bride, that God said, whatever the Levites say, you're bound to it. Like the Levites' word was solid. Okay, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way after they were come forth out of Egypt. When thou doest, you know, remember she got struck with leprosy and then got healed. When thou doest lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. And if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. Wow, what does that mean? In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee. And it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy. Wherefore he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land without within thy gates. And his at his day thou shalt give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry again against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the strange, of the stranger, nor of the, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. That reminds me, that's been on my spirit this morning. My Redeemer lives. Remember that song? For I know my Redeemer lives. He's saying, don't forget that I redeemed you. Amen. Okay, so now we're in verse 19. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands. And I thought that was neat, wasn't it, Bride? That when God talked to them about planting their gardens, he told them, keep the corners, okay, open. Let the stranger, the poor people have. In other words, he left so much for the poor. And God told him, he said, I will bless you for that. Amen. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. Isn't that awesome? He's telling them, have compassion on the poor. Remember where you came from. This was you at one time or another, you know, type of deal. All right, we're on Deuteronomy 25. Man, time is flying. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face. Hold on, bro. Well, never mind. Well, hold on a second. All right, Bride, I'm back. Let's go back. Deuteronomy 25. This thing does this every time. All right. Let's go back here. Okay. Okay, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down, and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault by a certain number, 40 stripes may be given him and not exceed. Wow! Isn't that something? Because that's the stripes that Jesus took, wasn't it? Am I right? Let's Google it. I think it was 40 stripes. How many stripes did Jesus receive on his back? Wow, they're saying 13 strokes on the chest and 26 on the back. So it was 39 lashes. Oh, okay, so they're saying the 39 lashes represent 39 diseases. Okay, well, I knew it was around 40. Okay, so anyways, 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these many stripes, then thy brother should sing vow unto thee. Thou should not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to be his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she bears shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead. Oh, isn't that awesome? That his name may not be put out of Israel. Oh, that is awesome. Did y'all catch on to that? Okay, let's say you got Joe and Mike and their brothers in Israel. And Joe dies. Mike is to take his brother's inheritance, take it unto him and marry it so that she can have his blood. Isn't that awesome? Wow, and they probably carried his name and he kept his genealogy going. That is cool. That is awesome. But to the husband that married her, that let him know the first child is not mine, really. It's my brother's. So, because it says just the first one, I guess he gets the rest of them. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up unto the gate of the elders and say, my husband's brother refused to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak to him and ask if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her. Wow, this is so interesting. Then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face. What? Wow. And shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. Wow. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that has his shoe loosed. So you are cursed and a bad man, basically. Wow, that is so amazing. Well, I want to know now what happens to this woman, don't you, Bride? When men strive together one with another, and the wife of the one draweth near for her to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand and taketh him by the secrets, then thou shalt cut off her hand, and thy eye shall not pity her. I don't know what that means, really. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do uprighteously, are an abomination, unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Oh, I think I know what that means. Okay. If in one situation you give justice, according to God, and you're truthful and pure about it, but in another case, you kind of bend the rules a little bit because you're showing favoritism to somebody and you're partial to that person, then you're not right in God's eyes. You're an abomination. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way and smote the utmost of thee, the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God has given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Abimelech under the heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Wow, isn't that something? All right, let's go on to chapter 26. Oh my gosh, we're on our last one. Time has flew by today. No. All right. And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwelleth therein, then thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Remember, bride, I'm thinking this is going to be the tabernacle. Every time God says that, that's what I think. Remember, I showed you how, okay, you have the tabernacle right here, the center, it's like a nucleus. And, you know, when they was going through the wilderness, and then you have the 11 tribes around it. And we're talking like 700,000 people. I mean, this is no small thing. This would be like Nashville, the size of Nashville traveling, you know. Well, I'm sure Nashville has a lot more people, but it's a lot of people. So now they're going in the promised land. And let's say this is the promised land, right? Each of the 11, they're all given different parts of land. But so far, it has not been assigned where this tabernacle is going to be. I cannot wait to see where God's going to put this. Because all of the other 9, actually remember, brother, there's only 9 that are actually inside the promised land, because 2, which was Reuben and Gad, or Dan, they chose to go be outside of the promised land because they found this other land they liked. And they honored God, so they got blessed. Okay, but there's 9 there, and we have not found out where this special place is. I cannot wait to find out where it's at. Okay, so he's saying here again, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. So, whenever you have your first cucumbers, put them in a basket, take it to the tabernacle. That's what he's saying. And thou shalt go unto the priest, here we go, that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. Oh, isn't that beautiful, bride? And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a great nation, great, mighty, and populous. Oh, he's going back and remembering. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us our bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard his voice and looked upon our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. And he had brought us into this place and has given us this land, even a land that flows with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God has given thee, and unto thine house, thy and thy Levite, and the stranger that is among you. When thou hast made an end of tithing, all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing. Oh, wow, this is something. And has given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, and unto the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Wow, isn't this something, Brad? Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless the people of Israel and the land. Okay, let me make sure I was in the right place, Brad. Hold on. Okay. Neither have I forgot. I have not eaten, therefore, in my mourning. Neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God has commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. Thou hast avowed to the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord has avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people. Come on now. Yes, Lord, as he has promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he has made, in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he has spoken. Wow, bride, wow. I am telling you what, these Bible studies are so amazing. What God is showing them on how he feels about them is so amazing. Bride, I kind of look at it like this. Let's say this is the land that God has promised the children of Israel, right? I kind of see a dome over the land, a dome of protection. Like they are a city on a hill. They are set apart. They are untouchable. Can you believe it? Untouchable. Yes, God has some weird, well, the way that we've been trained thinking of his laws and how he does everything, but I mean, that was God, and there's nothing we can do about it, but just ask him to grant to us understanding of why he did things the way he did. I understand, like, for one thing, about the way he talked about the men, the way he talked about the women, and how they were to dress, is because he wants us honoring who he chose us to be, the identity. If I'm a woman, it's an abomination to him for me to act like a man, for me to want to be a man, for me to reject his very creation. And that's what's happening when the world has done this LGBTQPRSTUVWXYZ type of movement. They are spitting in God's face because God created them people to be a man or a woman and no other. And how goofy it is for people who want to act like they're so intellectual with all this education and turn around and say it's okay for people to do this, to go off into reprobate minds, and you're excusing this sinful behavior. It's crazy. Why? Because it goes against God himself. It goes against the very nature of God. And this is why the judgment's coming. It is so ridiculous what is happening, and the off the deep end that the culture has taken and hijacked the country. And why? It's because the church is polluted. Let me tell you, Brad, if the church was healthy, there is no way the enemy could ever advance this far in our country. Think about it in the big picture. All these mega churches that have the money and have the power and the prestige and the authority over cities, what they could do if they would stand up for holiness and righteousness in our nation. But they don't. And you got to ask why. Well, because when you open the door and you look behind closed doors, you see what they're truly partnered with. It's called the ecumenical movement. They don't want to offend. They don't want to hurt people. But the devil is the one hurting them. Why? Because they're committing suicides at high rates. These people are drug addicts. These people are off into sexual immorality like never before. They're changing their whole identities. Why? Because the church is, the devil has went like this on the church's mouth. Shut up. You racist? You see what I mean? Telling people to shut up and not speak truth. And when you speak truth and you're bold about it, you are so persecuted. But you know what? Would you rather be persecuted here? Or would you rather go to hell? You're either hot for him and on fire on earth, or you will burn on fire in hell. That's the only way, the only choices we have. It's like the Bible. It's the only choice in the Old Testament they had. You either live by these commandments or that's it. And that's the way it is today. And look, people are going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to choose what they're going to choose. The question is, what do you choose? Do we go along with the culture and flow with the culture and agree with the culture? Or do we agree with God and the culture of God that rubs the world so raw? Whose report will we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Well, all right, Brian. Hallelujah. What another awesome Bible study we did today. We will be back tomorrow and the next day, and we will have Moses. We will say bye to Moses on Wednesday. We'll be so sad, but we will have Deuteronomy done. And then I'll go to D.C., and when I come back, we'll pick it back up. We got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah, we will have done by the time I go to D.C. And when we come back, we will pick it up with the next book and start again. All right, Bride, God bless you and have a good day.